the verse that drew me to this passage of scripture was Jonah chapter 2 verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. So said Jonah, as far as we are aware, from the belly of a large fish, probably a whale. There are always sound words of advice that we hear all over the world and throughout our lives. I think that the best words of advice come from, dare I say it, sometimes bitter experience. And sometimes only when we have seen all our dreams crash around us that we can actually see things as they are. People have often said, please note, children, oh, to have an old head on young shoulders. Because when you are older, generally speaking, you learn the folly of your younger waves. Well, Jonah had a remarkable experience. He was a prophet of the Lord. A remarkable privilege, too, to be a prophet of the Lord, to be a servant of the Lord, and something perhaps that we should remember, too. We can take for granted, can't we, the things that we read in Scripture. Here was a man, Jonah. God spoke to him and gave him a commission. So many people in life wonder what to do. And it's said to be particularly sometimes a man's problem, that young men often do find it, they do struggle to find which way they need to go in life. I'm sure it's not just men. I think women will have it as well. I remember at that time, as university came to a close, not being sure myself. I thank God that he did, I believe, show me the direction that I should take. But what a privilege to be told by the Lord what direction that we should take. In this case, what direction Jonah should take. He was told, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Well, I have to say, a privilege it might be, but a tall order as well. That city, we find in chapter 3, was 3 days' journey. I think that I understand that by meaning not 3 days to get there, but 3 days to go from one end of it to the other. A large city. I don't know how long it would take to walk from one end of London to the other. It wouldn't take all that long, would it? We could probably cover it in a day. Well, if that's right, and whatever it is, it's a great city. And Jonah had a task there, didn't he? He had to cry against it because of their wickedness. One thing to be commissioned by the Lord, another thing actually to have to do it. And yet we know that God would never tell us to do something he won't equip us with. Jonah, though given this commission, fled. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. It's an awful thing about the human condition, that we will, instead of running towards God to embrace him for our lives, we'll have a tendency to flee from him and to hide from him. Well, we have, I'm afraid, the example of our first parents. And I'm afraid examples often travel a very long way, particularly bad examples. Genesis 3, verses 8 to 10. After that they had both eaten of the forbidden fruit, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. Interesting, isn't it? Where did he hide himself? Where did they hide themselves? They hid themselves amongst the trees of the garden. We often say that cities are particularly godless places. And one of the reasons for that is because God's creation is shielded from man. Yes, you can look up and you can see the stars just, but because of the ambient light from the city, they're much dimmer, much harder to appreciate the greatness of God in a city where we see all these man-made buildings erected. And how easy it is for us to hide from God in our lives. The classic way, isn't it, is to give yourself to your labours. And some of us have jobs which are very interesting, and we can spend all our time in them. We can spend all our time studying. See, there are many trees that we can hide behind in our lives because we don't want to hear the voice of God. Or if we hear it, we want to block our ears. Well, Jonah rose up when he heard the voice of God, and he rushed in the opposite direction. Now, we know from later on in the book, in chapter 4, that he knew that if he discharged his commission, if he did what he was told and went and preached to Nineveh, then they would repent and God would forgive them. So his reason for fleeing was not because he was afraid of what he had to do. It might be why you and I flee. It wasn't, in fact, why Jonah fled. Jonah fled because he didn't want God to forgive him. And maybe he thought, and it's difficult because it's always speculation, and you must take it as speculation because that's all it is. Maybe he thought, because if the Ninevites repent, then, and they're not destroyed, then in future generations they will turn against Israel. There could be a number of reasons why it was that he didn't want God to forgive Nineveh. Of course, it begs the question in our own hearts sometimes, why is it? Do we have a reluctance to follow the way of the Lord? And if we do, what is it? What is the deep-seated reason? Of course, it can be bitterness in our own hearts. We don't want to see the Lord's goodness and kindness shed and spread to others. Seems to be what caused Jonah to run away. But whatever the motivation for Jonah running away, the fact is that he ran not back to Israel, but to Tarshish, one of the heathen nations. Now, the trouble is, there are only two ways a man can go. They can go God's way, or they can go their way. Their way is in the end the world's way, however we dress it up. And there'll be people in the church who may not be going God's way. Everyone thinks that they're going God's way, but they'll have to in the end. If they're not going the way that the Lord is leading them, they are going in another direction. And he fled to Tarshish. He didn't want to be in the presence of the Lord. And it's quite foolish, really, isn't it? Because we know from Psalm 139 that there's nowhere a man can flee to where he can actually escape from God. We can escape from each other, can't we? But we can't escape from God. What we read. Verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, can't see me in the dark, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. God's eyes see in the dark, don't they? Ours may not, but his do. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. There's nowhere we can hide. Earlier he says, if I go up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Nowhere to hide. And Jonah was to find that. Because he went down. He went down to these sailors, who there's no indication that they were godly men at that time. And he paid his passage to Tarshish. And then he was to find that the truth, that he could not flee from God. And God caused great events to come in his life. Friends, if we truly belong to the Lord, he will never let us go our own way. You see, we can't flee from the Lord, just like Jonah couldn't flee from the Lord. But I suspect, looking back on it, Jonah would have preferred not to have gone through the experience he had to go through. He had the humiliation as a prophet of the Lord, at having to admit to these godless sailors that he had been disobedient. He should have been witnessing to these men. He should have been leading them to Christ, just as Paul did several centuries later. Paul, though a prisoner, and the irony is amazing. Jonah, a passenger. Paul, a prisoner. And when Paul was in the boat in Acts chapter 27, he, the prisoner, ended up being the leader. The tail became the head. Why? Because Paul was being obedient to God. He had been warned, he'd been told that he would be witnessing in Jerusalem. And an angel of the Lord spoke to him. And he conveyed that message, that if they did what he told them, none would be lost. God had promised him that none would be lost in that ship. And those sailors obeyed Paul. And what a wonderful witness it was. Look how different Jonah's witness was. Jonah, when the storm was blowing, what was he doing? He was asleep in the bottom of the ship. And while the Lord Jesus, we read in Mark chapter 4, while there was a storm raging in the Sea of Galilee, the Lord Jesus went to sleep. And he was awoken by his disciples because they thought that he was going to let them sink. But of course, the Lord Jesus was never going to do anything of the sort. The safest place to be is with the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus was merely sleeping the sleep of faith, because he knew he was safe. And friends, there's a godly sleep to be had. And God grants his blessed ones sleep. But there can also be the sleep of death, where we've shut our ears to God. We don't want to hear him. And indeed, it sends us into a deep sleep. And that was Jonah's sleep. He could have been drowned, and he might not have woken up. And indeed, who was it who woke him? Was it the Lord speaking to him in a dream as he spoke to Paul? No. It was the shipmaster who came to reprimand him. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Here was a man who could save them, a man who could call upon his God. Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. But no, Jonah was too far gone for that. See, going back to our verse, they did observe lying vanities, forsake their own mercy. Well, I can't help thinking that when he said that, that he was referring back to his own experience, that having forsaken the way of the Lord, well, it's only the pleasures of Egypt, as it were. It's the world's pleasures that come next, aren't they? Once we have said no to the Lord's leading, inevitably what's going to happen is those desires within us are going to have free rein because we've given up following the Lord. And this is the great deception that we have to be alive to, that we can't do a deal with the Lord. Say, well, Lord, I'll serve you this much if you give me that much. Well, Jonah had, of course, gone completely the opposite direction. He wasn't even pretending, really, to still be a prophet of the Lord, was he? Fast asleep, now useless to man and beast. Certainly, once you're useless to God, you are useless to man or beast, aren't you? But God had not finished with him. And they cast lots. We know that now we should be very careful about casting lots. Now I would strongly urge against it. We should always go to God's words, but God's word. But wherein ultimately that failed. And it failed for these men. They didn't know. Who was it? Who was responsible for this? Well, they drew lots, and the Lord caused the lot to fall on Jonah. He was the one responsible. And so he had to admit all to these sailors. And again, what a humiliation. What an awful thing for a man who was serving the living God, who'd been commissioned to the living God, to have to confess his errors. Worse than that, to say that because of my disobedience to God, you are all in peril as well. Now, we have to understand, friends, we are not an island. No man is an island. Someone said that, haven't they? I don't know who it was. But it's true. The decisions we make affect other people. We can say, well, I'm going to go this way. Don't worry, it won't affect you. It always will affect other people, and you will be surprised by how many people it will affect. And so they realized that this man was responsible. But amazingly, there was an answer. You might think, well, look, here was this raging turmoil of an ocean. Why didn't he just throw himself into it? And that's a question that should lead us just to reflect. He could have jumped into it himself. He could have jumped in, caused a calm, perhaps. But he would have been sinning against God, wouldn't he? Because if he jumped in to that ocean, he would have had the mind of committing suicide. Friends, suicide is always wrong. There may be people who are very depressed and unable to think straight. But friends, don't take your own life, ever. There's never an instance in the Bible where someone taking their own life has ever known the blessing of God. It has always been in the most tragic circumstances. Judas, the Ahithophel, who was the who gave counsel to Absalom. He took his own life when his counsel was ignored. Saul took his own life because he had lost his throne. He'd lost his crown. Jonah wouldn't take his own life. He realized that the only way for this matter to be dealt with was through the judicial process of the sailors executing the due penalty for his disobedience against God, which was to throw him into the sea. He had caused this storm. He had placed their lives in jeopardy. The only just solution was for him to be cast into the ocean. And it seems that God had shown him this. Verse 12, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. And so these men tried. They tried to avoid it. They didn't want to have his blood on their hands. But this was from the Lord. And we see that because in chapter 2, when Jonah had been swallowed by the whale and he's recounting the prayer that he made to God into the whale, he says in verse 3, for thou hast cast me into the deep, not these men. He didn't say these wicked sailors have thrown me into the sea and now have mercy on me. No, he said, thou hast. Friends, we must recognize the hand of God in the affairs of men. God uses his instruments, his unrighteous instruments, but nevertheless his instruments to bring about his purposes. Even the hairs of our head are numbered. Not one sparrow will fall to the ground without the Lord knowing it. I've already mentioned the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. That means that when you toss a coin, the result, whether it lands on its head or lands on its tail, is in the Lord's hand. If that's in the Lord's hand, everything's in the Lord's hand. Nothing that happens in this world happens without the knowledge and permission of Almighty God, because he is sovereign over everything. And Jonah recognized that. So he underwent a judicial execution, and then look what happened. There was a calm. Verse 15, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. What a remarkable sight that must have been. From being in a tumult and fearing for their very lives, suddenly to a calm. Well, it's a wonderful picture of Calvary. Because we know in Matthew that the Lord Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees that there was only one sign that they would get, and that was the sign of the prophet Jonah. Verse 40, Matthew 12, verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jonah, thrown into the heart of the sea. And he was not in a harbour, was he? A big fish that could swallow a man was not going to get into a harbour, was he? Occasionally you get whales who sail too close to shore, or swim too close to shore, and they get beached, don't they? They stay in the midst of the ocean. And so Jonah, in the midst of the ocean, just as the Lord Jesus, in the heart of the earth for 3 days. Because just as Jonah, being thrown into the sea, led to peace for the sailors, So the Lord Jesus Christ, laying down his life, caused peace for God's people, for all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want peace in this world, and we're all crying out for it, aren't we? Not a peace where we just, you know, look on a lovely sunset. Not peace for a moment, but peace in our hearts. Do you want peace in your heart? Peace from a troubled soul? Peace from disobedience? Peace from sin, which is in the end what it all is? Only the Lord Jesus Christ, by dying on the cross for the sins of the world, can provide that peace. And we need to repent of our sin and believe upon him. Well, Jonah realized this. I think the sailors must have done to an extent. I think there's a lesson, though. You see, they even knew by the end, the name of the Lord. Because when you see Lord written in capital letters, it is Jehovah. Verse 16, then, or Yahweh, the name peculiarly given to the people of Israel. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. They made vows. How many people, when they are in a dangerous situation, when they are in a situation where they are desperate, perhaps, you know what your own situation is. Maybe you're at the end of your abilities, that you're desperate about something. You see, and so you ask the Lord to help you. And you make vows. If you do this, Lord, if you save me from this situation, if you answer this prayer, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. And the Lord comes and he answers your prayer. And then you just forget and you go back to the world. Well, we've no indication that these sailors turned to the Lord. I suppose you could say we've no indication that they didn't mean those vows. But how many people make vows and forget about them the next day? And it's a serious thing. If we turn to the Lord and we ask him for help and we say to the Lord, I will do this, I will serve thee forever, then we must discharge our responsibility. The wonderful thing is that when you turn to the Lord, it's not in your strength anyways, because he's called you. And he who has started a good work will bring it to completion in Christ Jesus. He doesn't leave us to swim on our own. He provides the means. He provides the ability for us to turn to him in the first place, and he provides the means. He will bring it to completion. For it is God who worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He does the work, friends. But of course, he doesn't do the work in a heart that's disobedient. We need to yield to him. And that's why it's so important, and why we must fear the Lord and not turn away from him. You see, that's the lesson that Jonah learned from the whale's belly. He saw the folly of turning away from God. How many people, they get to their deathbeds, and someone said it, you know, about people who work too hard. How many people, when they're on their deathbed, wish they'd worked another hour or another week? And they don't, do they? What's going to be on your mind on your deathbed is, have I served God faithfully? Because I'm going to go and meet him now. That's when you realize, well, as Jonah did, as far as he was concerned, he was on his deathbed. He was in the belly of a whale in the middle of the sea. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And those vanities can be idols, they can be false idols, can't they? But they can also be our worldly ambitions, our lusts for the things of this life, anything that comes between us and the call of the Lord. And we know, don't we, in our hearts, we're not going to be caught by surprise at the end of our lives. Jonah wasn't. Jonah knew the truth. But really, the Lord's mercy is when the truth comes to us now, while we can do something about it. Are we observing lying vanities? Notice that, lying vanities. Well, how can a lifeless idol lie? Well, it deceives us, doesn't it? Great success, the picture of it. We look at successful people and think, I want to be like him or her. And it holds a promise of fulfillment until you get there. You get to the top. I remember reading somewhere, I thought it was in an obituary, it may not have been. They got to the top, they thought they'd find the answer, and there was nothing there. Because the answer is not to be found through great success, great studying. We won't get to the end. There's just much wearisome labour in studying. The Lord, he is the one who is the end for all of us. He will give us fulfillment. He will give us peace. He will give us joy through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's life in him and no other. But life in Christ means a life of obedience to him. We have here the classic example of what happens when we turn away. Friends, don't let's turn away from the Lord. Have you turned to him for your sins to be forgiven? Well, if you haven't, today is the day. When we get to the end of our lives, it is too late. We'll realize what we've done wrong. And there's only one of two options: heaven or hell. Hell is where our sins take us. Heaven is for those who have heeded the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have repented of their sins, believed upon him, and shown by their good works that they belong to him. Because even those good works are done for us, they're prepared for us, and we're to walk in them in his strength. Are we walking in the Lord's way in his strength? If we're not, then let's not wait to be in a situation like Jonah, swallowed up by a whale in this life, in a desperate situation because we've been disobedient, in the one place we don't want others to see us. No. Let's take heed today. That's the purpose of this passage, is to warn us now, while we can still do something about it. Let us turn to the Lord Jesus. Let us ask him to forgive us and to give us the strength to go the way that he has called us. Amen.